living. We're working our way through chapter 5, which is full of these strong words of encouragement to live for the Lord, to walk as God would have us to walk, or as Paul said in chapter 4, verse 1, to walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith we have been called. We have been called in Christ Jesus to live as children of God, in the image of God, to the glory of God. And that means being like Christ Jesus. To be Christian is to be Christ-like. And so we talked in verses 1 and 2 about walking in love as God hath also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We talked about walking in purity, putting away fornication and uncleanness and all ungodliness and jesting and foolish talking in verses 3 through 7. We talked about walking in light in verses 8 through 14. Tremendous subject, very important that we be children of light and walk in the light as Jesus Christ is in the light. We talked about walking in wisdom in verses 15 through 17, redeeming the time because the days are evil, walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is, knowing that there's nothing more important than being in the will of God. And then we talked about walking in the Spirit. We took 3 weeks to talk about walking in the Spirit because it's so important that we do that. It's so important that we allow the Holy Spirit of God who lives in us to be the one who is directing our path, the one who is guiding us, leading us in paths of righteousness. It is God in us that we are to listen to, we are to obey, and we are to live an obedient Christian life by allowing him to be in control, walking in the Spirit. And so today we start this subject of walking in joy. Walking in joy. Verses 19 and 20. Again, verse 19, where we'll be today. We are to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sounds like Paul's using three different words to explain the same or to describe the same thing, doesn't it? But oh no, they're very different. And we're going to look at the difference of those three words and what each one of them means. And we're to be speaking to ourselves. What in the world does it mean to speak to yourselves? You know, I talk to myself all the time. I don't get a lot of edification out of that. But that's not what this means. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to go around talking to ourselves. But we're to be actually, it means we're to be talking to one another. We're to be encouraging one another through the joy that's in our heart. We're going to get into that in just a moment. We're to be singing. That's the key word in the verse. Singing, that's the exhortation in one summed up in one word. Paul says, sing, sing, make a joyful noise. And so we're to be singing to the Lord, and we're to be making melody in our heart to the Lord. So it's a two-way conversation in song, speaking to yourselves, speaking to one another, and then singing to the Lord. What does all that mean? Lord, give us the ability today to divide the word of truth properly. May we see the spiritual application in Paul's exhortation. May we go home with our hearts full of song today, knowing that Jesus Christ has died for us. He has given his life a ransom for many. He was buried, but he rose again the third day, and he lives forevermore. And Lord, we're going to learn this morning, we're going to learn that the Lord Jesus Christ himself has a song that he's going to sing to the church one day. What an amazing thought that is. Thank you for this message. Thank you for the Holy Spirit in our hearts that we might be able to understand what it is saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The joyful walk. Walk in joy. Walk as though your heart were filled with joy. It should be. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit lives there. God is your Father in heaven. God created music. God intended music to lift our hearts toward Him in praise. So we are to be filled with music. The Spirit-filled life is a musical life. It is a musical walk. To walk in joy is to walk a musical walk. The Spirit-filled life produces music. The first consequence of being filled with the Spirit is a song. It's not a mountain-moving, extremely high amount of faith experience to be filled with the Spirit. It's to be filled with song. It's not some ecstatic spiritual experience that only a few get to enjoy or to know. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with song. It's not some kind of a supernatural display of spirituality like speaking in tongues or performing miracles. It's to have a song on your heart, to be filled with joy and music. It's not the outflowing of spiritual gifts, though all of us have spiritual gifts and we're to use those spiritual gifts. But the walking in joy as a result of being filled with the Spirit is music. It is to be filled with a song. When the believer walks in the Spirit, he has an inner joy that expresses itself musically. God puts music in the soul, and He puts music on our lips as well. And when we're walking in obedience, the obedient Christian life in action, there should be a song on our lips. One of the great distinctions of Christianity is its music. Amen. God gives a new song. You know, the word new is used over 20 times in the Bible, and almost every time the word new is used, it's used in reference to music. Did you know that? To a song. And the music that God gives is not the music that the world gives. And I'm not going to get into that today. I'm not going to talk about all the negative music and the music we shouldn't have in the church and the music we should avoid. There's a time and a place for that. But today I'm talking about the command or the exhortation. Paul says, sing, sing, be filled with joy, walk in joy. And so a new song is a different song, different from the world. It's a distinctive song. It's a song that is, number one, pure in quality. Pure in quality. It's a song where when we sing to the Lord, we should be doing it with our heart. We should be doing it with everything that is in us. We should be putting ourselves into the singing. I love to be in a church service where you know the people are really enjoying the singing. They're really into it. They're really dynamic, and it is being enjoyed. There is a distinction about Christian music in quality. It's a more beautiful song than anything the world can ever produce. It's a more beautiful song. One of the things that I noticed on the missions trips that the Lord has given me the tremendous privilege of taking all around the world, whether it's in Eastern Europe, being in Romania, or Western Europe, Germany, or whether it's in Africa or the Caribbean or South America or Canada, one of the things that I noticed was the beauty of the singing. Everywhere we went, the songs, the music. The people down in the Caribbean, their music is definitely different. And everywhere I went, the music, the style was different. It was unique. It was cultural. One of the things that I appreciated about our mission board's philosophy was when we went in to encourage, and that was our ministry, encouraging churches, national churches, and their ministries to get started and to grow and to be all that they could be for the Lord, is we did not try to change them culturally. We encouraged them to use their own music, their own style of worship, their own format, and the music in each place was different, very different from each other. The people down in the Caribbean, I mean, they could really get into the music. The drums and the stringed instruments and the just the joyful singing, you could really get drawn into it. It was really wonderful. I don't know how else to describe it. I don't have the words to describe it. But of all the music in all the different parts of the world, the Romanian church The only thing I could do when I would hear the Romanian people sing was weep. It would just melt your heart. It really did. And even though I couldn't understand hardly a word that was being sung, the melodies were the same. I would recognize when they sing, "In my heart there rings a melody." The words were different, but the melody was the same. And it was just beautiful. And it just melted your heart. And so God's music is a distinctive music. It is a unifying music. I felt joy, and I felt like I was in the presence of the Lord when the people sang, whether it was in Africa or Europe or South America. You could tell that it was making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And it was wonderful. And even though dramatically different in style from one place to another, it still had that same flawless effect, the effect of drawing believers together in the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright," says the psalmist in Psalm 33, 1 and 2. "Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise." Did you know that the original harps, what the Bible would speak of as a harp, one of the earliest, one of the most ancient musical instruments, was designed to be played with 10 fingers. And some of the earliest ones had just 10 strings. And you never used the same finger on 2 different strings. You used all 10 fingers on a different string. And you would be strumming. Well, I guess they would touch other strings as you strum, but what each finger was intended to start with its own particular string. And so when it says that we are to play skillfully with an instrument of 10 strings, I think it's really in reference to the early music that David would have written to the accompaniment of the musical instrument, the harp. God himself, it says in Psalm 40, verse 30, "hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Music will produce a respect, a reverence for the Lord God. And because we have salvation, we sing songs of salvation. Psalm 96, 1 and 2, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Praise the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints." Psalm 149, verse 1. God's new song is a song of redemption. It's a song of deliverance from our sin, the bondage of sin. One day the four living creatures and the 24 elders will fall down before the throne of heaven, before Jesus Christ the Lamb, and sing a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." When God delivered Israel out of Egypt, all the people came together and they sang a song unto the Lord. Exodus 15, 1 through 18 contains that song. And when they were finished singing, Moses' sister Miriam stood up and led the women in song. And that's verses 20 and 21 of Exodus 15. After Judge Deborah and Barak delivered Israel from the Canaanites, they sang on that day, it says in Judges 5:1. Of the 38,000 people who ministered at the temple in Jerusalem, 4,000 of them were musicians. 4,000. And in the book of Nehemiah, we read of huge choirs of people singing praises unto the Lord, Nehemiah 12, 31 and 38. And throughout the Old Testament, and particularly in the Psalms, we read of many kinds of musical instruments that God's people used to praise Him. And the last thing that Jesus and His disciples did after they enjoyed the Last Supper together, they sang a hymn before they went out and crossed the Kidron Valley and up into the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus spent hours in agony and prayer and was finally arrested. The last thing they did together as a group of disciples was sing a hymn. And while they were imprisoned in Philippi, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, Acts 16:25. On the heavenly Mount Zion, the 144,000 Jewish witnesses during the tribulation period, those who have been purchased from the earth will sing a new song before the throne of Christ, Revelation 14:3. Sing a new song. Sing. That's the exhortation. The Spirit-filled walk is a musical walk. Spirit-filled believers are to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me answer some questions as we work our way through verse 19. There'll be simple questions with simple answers. You'll know the answer as soon as I ask the question. That's how simple this is. But among whom do believers sing? It says, sing to yourselves. To yourselves. Literally, it means to one another. Sing to one another. Go over to Colossians. Flip over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, a sister verse to Ephesians 5:19. I want you to look at those words. We dealt with these in detail when we studied the book of Colossians, but that's been several years ago now, believe it or not, that we studied Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 is a similar exhortation, very similar to Ephesians 5:19. Paul there says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, each other, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. To get an understanding, to get a full picture of this exhortation to sing, because we are filled with the Spirit, to walk in joy with a song in our heart, to get a clear picture of that exhortation, we really need to compare these two passages of Scripture. We need to keep both of them in mind. They both address that subject. Christian singing is the celebration of life together in Christ Jesus. Singing. Singing is celebrating the life of Christ that we share in common. God's Spirit in our hearts puts music in our hearts again. So among whom do we sing? We sing among ourselves. Do we sing to ourselves, to one another? How do believers sing? There's two parts to that answer. How do believers sing? First of all, by speaking to ourselves, yourselves, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the first way that we sing. The second way we sing is by singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Let's talk about those for just a moment. First of all, it says speaking. I'm back in Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. The word speaking, it includes any sound that is offered to God. It can be the utterance of sound without words. It can be speaking, talking to the Lord. It can be singing, singing with our voice, our God-given musical instrument. It can be singing, speaking, talking. It includes any kind of sound that is given to the Lord, any sound that brings pleasure to God. It can include congregational singing. That's a very big, important part of speaking to yourselves in Psalms. It can include instrumental music alone. When Jared Nell comes, the young man who tunes our pianos, when he comes and gives a concert, that is a worship experience, let me tell you. If you go away not realizing that you've been in the presence of the Lord when he gets finished doing a concert, something's wrong. Your blesser is broken. Okay? Because it just lifts our spirits toward God. It brings pleasure to God, I'm sure. It pleases God. So speaking can include an instrumental piece of music. It can even include a non-instrumental piece of music. In other words, an a cappella piece of music. I love it. Not to make his head swell or anything like that, but Mark, I love it when you get up here and sing without the instrument. There's something special about that. It just draws us toward the Lord. It focuses our attention on the words of the song, and it's a beautiful way to speak to ourselves or speak to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking can include a recitation of a poem or scripture. We don't do that much in the Eastern or the Western Church, but in Romania, a large part of their opening exercises or the opening service, which could go on for hours, and I've seen services which, before the preaching even begins, the music and the worship goes on for hours. Many people will stand up and just read a passage of scripture, or they'll read a poem. That's speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's letting sounds come out of your voice that bring glory and pleasure to God. And so it can include vocals, like solos, duets, trios, quartets, choirs, a mixture of any of the above. The key thing to speaking, the key thing is that it must come from the heart. It comes from the heart, which is submissive to the Spirit, and it brings glory to God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms. Psalms is an interesting word. Psalms refers primarily to the Old Testament psalms that are being recited or sung to music. Old Testament psalms that are recited and sung to music. I'm doing a study now through the psalms, through the poetical books of the Old Testament, and it's interesting how many psalms were actually written in that 1,000-year period that our psalms were written. Hundreds of thousands of psalms. The 150 psalms that we have in our Bible, that's an amazing thing when you think about how did they select just 150 to be included in the canon of Scripture and believe that these were the ones that were the inspired words of God. That's a whole process in itself that's worthy of meditation and study. But the Psalms being recited or put to music and sung, the book of Psalms was known as the hymn book of the Old Testament, the hymn book of the people of God, the hymnal of Israel. The early church did most of its singing directly from the Psalms. They didn't have a hymn book like we have. They had the Psalms on scrolls, most of them being memorized. The Levites would recite them, and they would recite a line and the people would sing it. Then they would recite another line and the people would sing that, until they learned that particular psalm and the melody that went with it. And then they would sing through a whole psalm. It was an amazing thing to listen and hear the people of the Old Testament singing praises to God using the psalm book that God had given to them, this psalm book. The early church did most of its singing directly from the psalms. When you go through the book of Acts, and they met daily for worship and singing and making melody, it was using the psalms that they had learned in the early days of the church. The pattern was followed, that pattern of singing directly from the psalms of the Bible was followed for hundreds of years. Up into the 12th, 13th, and 14th century, it was still the primary source of songs, singing from the Psalms in the Bible. And it's still used in some congregations today, especially again in the European churches. They sing a lot of the Psalms. The Psalms primarily speak about the nature of God. Who is God? What is God like? What are His attributes? Thinking about just all of His holiness, His righteousness, His omnipresence, His all-powerfulness, giving glory to God and talking about the work of God, the things that He has created, the things that He has done, how He brought Israel out of Egypt, how He parted the Red Sea, all of those historical things that we find in the Psalms were songs that were being sung to God in praise and adoration for who He is. That is what a psalm is. It's speaking directly about the nature and the work of God. And above everything else, it is sung to magnify and glorify the Lord. Psalms, speaking to yourselves in psalms. Hymns, that's a little bit different. Hymns refer primarily to songs of praise. Praise songs. In the early church, they were distinguished from the psalms, P-S-A-L-M-S, which exalted God. The hymns specifically praised the Lord Jesus Christ. They praised the Lord Jesus Christ. And many biblical scholars believe that various New Testament passages were used as hymns. For example, one that we know was used in the early church was Paul's words to the Colossians, again, in chapter 1, if you want to look at that, Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to change the pronouns just a little bit in one verb, but in Colossians chapter 1, I'll just read a few of the verses, starting with verse 12. Here's what they would sing: "Give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him," and so on. That was a song, a hymn, that was sung frequently in the churches of the book of Acts. So we have psalms and hymns which speak primarily about praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they edify Him. And then spiritual songs. What are spiritual songs? These are songs of testimony. What God has done for me. What God has done for us. And so spiritual songs are songs of testimony covering a broad category, including musically expressing spiritual truths. Examples of spiritual songs would be, "Oh, how He loves you and me," "I'd rather have Jesus," or "It is well with my soul." Those would be spiritual songs. They wouldn't fit into the category of a hymn, and they wouldn't fit into the category of a psalm. We are to sing, speaking, making noise with our voices or with our instruments to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's the second part of this. How do we sing? Singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. The word singing, interesting word, is the Greek word adu. Adu. And it simply means to sing with the voice. I don't know if you remember, if you're a fan of The Sound of Music, but one of the songs in The Sound of Music that the children are singing has that adu, 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 adu. That's, they're saying, sing with your voice. Sing with your voice. And so we're to sing with our voice. We're to make music with our voice. It's the sound of music that we're expressing thanks and praise to God. In the New Testament, it's always used in relation to praising God. Colossians 3:16, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Revelation 5:9, and they sung, adu. They sing a new song. Revelation 14:3. Revelation 15:3. They sing the song of Moses, I do. Making melody. Singing and making melody. Making melody is a Greek verb from the Hebrew word for psalms. And the Greek word psalo actually means to pluck with the fingers or to strum a musical instrument. And what happens when you take a musical instrument and you strum it or you pluck it with your fingers? You're making the melody. You're making the melody. And so that's what the idea is, using something to make melody. You're not just saying words, but you have the words that are going up and down in harmony, and there's a melody to it, and you're using a musical instrument. In the later church history, the term was applied to actually not the making of a melody, but the making of a musical instrument. Salo means you're building a violin, or you're building a guitar, you're making the instrument. Music in the church is to honor God and bless those who hear it. That's the key thing, the important thing. It is to honor God and bless those who are hearing it. As I said earlier, our Lord Jesus Christ himself is going to sing a song to the church one day. You say, how do you know that? Because it tells us that in Hebrews 2:12. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. He's going to be singing unto the Father, but he's going to be singing in the church. Songs of praise. And then, from where do believers sing? We are to sing from the heart. Singing and making melody in your heart. Singing from the heart, the idea is that our hearts cause us to sing and make melody to God. Our hearts are the channels through which we sing praises. A person who does not have a song in his heart cannot sing from his heart. He can only sing with his lips, and neither his music nor his message will have the power of the Spirit to bless others in Christ's name. We cannot sing a true song in our hearts unless we are under the Spirit's control. Here it goes right back again to the key thought that we said is the most important thing, is that we be walking in the Spirit. If we are under the control of the Spirit, then we can sing from the heart. If we are not under the control of the Spirit, then we are going to have great difficulty singing in our hearts to the Lord. It's possible to sing for the wrong reasons. And I said I wasn't going to get into a lot of this today, but just to mention this, we can sing out of pride. We can sing for acclaim or prestige. We can sing for fame. We can even sing for money. But such singing is spiritless singing. A person who comes to worship while bitter toward God, or angry with a loved one, or in other ways out of harmony with God's Spirit, cannot sing from the heart. The prophet Amos tells us that when people's hearts are not right with God, he has a way of turning their festivals into mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, and their songs into lamentation. The word lamentation means bitter weeping or crying. So when our hearts are not right with God, God will turn our songs into mourning and bitter lamentation. In chapter 5 of the same prophet, he gives us this warning from God. Amos says, God says through Amos, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials, those are musical instruments, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. When your songs are just noise, they're not coming from the heart, they're not the result of a Spirit-filled walk, they're not given from the heart in praise and adoration of God, then God says, take them away from me. I don't want to hear them. And then finally, to whom do believers sing? We are not to be singing to ourselves. We're to be singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to sing, to encourage and to edify and to join in worship and praise. But ultimately, it is to the Lord. It is all to be given to the Lord. The end of verse 19 there. And our songs are be to directed to the Lord. Our singing and making melody is not for the purpose, again, of drawing attention to ourselves. It's not for the purpose of entertainment. It is for rejoicing and praising God. Whether we're singing a solo or singing in a choir or singing with a congregation, our focus should be on the Lord and not on ourselves. He is the audience to whom we sing. At the dedication of the Second Temple, the Levite singers and the singers that are identified, the songwriters that are identified in the Psalms, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, the sons of these kinsmen, clothed in fine linen with cymbals and harps and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison. When the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice and praise and glorify God. That's the picture. That's the picture of singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. It is a great anthem of praising Him, giving glory to His name, honoring Him, lifting Him up, high and lifted up. And because the Lord was pleased with their heartfelt expressions of harmonious worship, it says, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud of smoke, so that the priests could not even stand to minister before the cloud, for the glory of the Lord Himself filled the house of God. Wow. God loves music. John Sebastian Bach said, probably the greatest musician of all time. He said, the aim of all music should be to glorify God. The aim of all music should be to glorify God. The words of every Christian song should be biblical. They should be spoken or sung distinctly, clearly, and accurately, reflecting the teachings of the Word of God. In conclusion, we can say music that honors the Lord God blesses the people of God. Music is a blessing. Amen. Music that honors the Lord God blesses the people of God. A beautiful, soothing piece of music can calm nerves. It can take away fear, remove anxiety, reduce bitterness and anger, help turn our attention away from ourselves and the cares and problems of the world, giving our attention to God. Good example of that was David, King David, not only a man of God, but as you know, he was a very skilled musician. We're told that whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, what did David do? He took his harp and he began to play, and it says that Saul would be refreshed and he would be well and the evil spirit would depart from him. 1 Samuel 16:23. The music blessed Saul emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then when there's a song in our hearts, we're also going to be giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That, verse 20, is for next week. Lord, we come before you this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts because you've given us the tool of music to bless our hearts. You've given us the tool of music to praise your name, to glorify you, to exalt you and lift you up. Lord, I am so thankful that I am a part of a church, a Bible church, which, Lord, we are not perfect. And our music, Lord, I am so thankful I'm a part of a church whose music, I believe, glorifies you. We work hard at trying to make our music bring honor to your name. And I'm thankful for a people who understand the importance of that. But Lord, there are many people in many churches today whose attention is not on you. Sadly, when they come together, it's not for the purpose of worship. It's for many other purposes. And so, Lord, we certainly want to give thanks today for our church, our musicians, the instruments that you've provided for us, the talent that we have here in our church, among our church family. We want to thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we want to pray that every person here who enjoys the music that we sing, every person here who's part of this, Lord, that they would truly know Jesus as their Savior. And my prayer this morning is simply that if there is someone here today, someone in the sound of our voice who does not know Christ as their Savior, that they would invite Him to forgive them of their sins, first of all. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Forgive me of my sins. And that if there's someone here without a Savior, they would invite Him to be a part of their lives. Dear God, forgive me of my sins and become my Savior. Save me, Lord. Bring me into your family. Make me one of your children. And put a new song in my heart, a song of praise to God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.